Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
All right. I have the honor and privilege of introducing, well, I guess for the second or third time this summer, maybe the third time. Second time this summer, David Dawson, who's going to be preaching. We're in a series right now. We kind of have this practice at Lambert that's formed in the last few years where we've just invited some of our own to step up here and preach during the summer. And we've each summer we've had a different theme. And this year, our theme is God Speaks. And God speaks in so many different ways. He speaks through nature. He speaks through our stories. He speaks through his word. And so it's been a great privilege. And I this isn't the last week, but I just want to recognize how amazing the teachings have been this summer from some of our own stepping up here. Can you just give them a round of applause? And it's been incredible because the power of the word comes from Jesus. And so when people step up here and preach Jesus, it's powerful, right? So we're looking forward to hearing from you, David, this morning. Can I pray for you?
Please.
Let's do it. Jesus, in the gospel according to Mark, when you looked out to the crowd of 5,000 and you saw that they were hungry, you also saw that they were sheep without a shepherd. And before feeding them, you taught them. And you taught them many things. And Jesus, it's an honor that we not only get nourished by you, God, physically, through food, you nourish our souls through your word. And so, as David steps up here this morning to preach your word, we trust that you have been speaking into his life, not only this past week or few weeks that he's been prepping, but his entire life as he's been following you. And you want to say something through him and through your word as he preaches. So, we give ourselves to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit open our eyes, or our ears, our minds, our hearts, to receive from you this morning the nourishment to our souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, since the series was first announced and titled God Speaks, I've been reflecting often on what it means to hear God's voice. I mean, I'm extremely grateful for the security that I find in the scriptures, which are, of course, the tried and tested source of God's revelation to us all. But I've also noticed in the scriptures that the Bible refers to God speaking in different ways. God speaks, of course, in his written word, but there's also, in a sense, his spoken word. And I'm using that in a more general sense, not necessarily audible voices, but maybe those impressions in the heart, the way that God might speak to you through another person. Broadly, I think we could call all of these things prophecy. Now, we tend to think of prophecy in terms of predicting the future. We think of it in terms of like these fantasy novels or whatever. There's the prophecy of the chosen one, these things that are they're kind of really heavy duty and important. But I think there's more to the sense of what prophecy is when it's talked about, especially in the New Testament. I've tended, I think, to hear God most often in a kind of a confirming way of him reminding me even just of his presence, of the fact that he cares for me. I experienced that as a form of prophecy. There was a time where I was out for a walk, and I was intentionally trying to pay attention to God, and I was asking him about my future. Of I was between jobs at the time, and I was thinking, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? This is kind of my desire, but what do you have for me? And I was just kind of in that prayerful mode, and it was nice weather, and a car drove by, and it had its window open, and the music was playing loud. And the only line I heard was from a Bob Marley song, every little thing is gonna be all right. And then it just like... Now, Bob Marley is amazing, but at that moment, I believe that it was God speaking to me. I took it that way. It just kind of came to my heart and said, I smiled, of course, and I said, Lord, I received that, and I thanked him. And I think God can speak in these kinds of ways. Theologian Wayne Grudem says that prophecy should not be defined as predicting the future, nor even proclaiming the word of the Lord, nor is even as powerful preaching, but rather it's telling someone something or receiving something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. And throughout the Bible and today, God speaks in a variety of ways, through dreams, visions, circumstances like I just described, impressions in the heart and mind. How do we recognize that it's from God? Well, Grudem further reflects on this. He says that it may be a thought brought to the mind surprisingly distinct from the person's own train of thought, or it's accompanied by a sense of vividness or urgency or persistence, or in some other ways that gives a person a clear sense that it's from the Lord. Such prophecies are not on the level of Scripture. And the New Testament makes this very clear itself, that it, when it talks about the gift of prophecy, it talks about something that needs to be tested and reviewed. And of course, we do that in conjunction with the stability of the Scriptures. But the Bible also says that we should not just dismiss prophecy and just say, oh, it's not as important, that God doesn't work that way anymore. And a verse that has kind of spoken to me, I want to share with you from 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil. So here we have this sense of don't dismiss prophecy, but also don't just kind of take everything that you hear. There's this sense that we need to test it and to think it through and to take it to Scripture. And back in June, Priscilla gave us a great challenge in one of our messages about the importance of testing the spirits. And you can reflect back on her message or go to 1 John that talks about that. The Scripture is always our baseline for what is a message from God. I've also been reading a book that Janet recommended in her message about How to Hear from God, A Simple Guide for Normal People by Peter Gregg. And I've been challenged by that, and I've also been disturbed by it. I've been disturbed in the sense that I wonder if I'm a good listener. And that's the challenge I want to bring us to today, is if God is speaking, are we listening? I'm encouraged by the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, which is the first time that God speaks to the prophet Samuel. This prophet at this point is just a boy. Let me read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, who was a priest. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back, lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. And a third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling, as at the other times, "Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And God goes on to give a message to Samuel. We're not going to get into the details of that message. It was a confirmation, in fact, of judgment on Eli and his family because of some of the blasphemies that they had done. It does come to pass. But our heart this morning is not so much what God said to Samuel, but the fact that he spoke it all and that Samuel was willing to listen. My question is, are we listening? Do Samuel's words describe our heart? Do you want God to speak? Or are there barriers that we've put up towards hearing God's voice? We're told in that passage that in those days the word of God was rare. Is that true today? I wonder, however, if we just interpret our own deafness as God's quietness. Is he sparing with his words, or are we watching another channel? When I examine my own life, I can see a few things at work that I think make me a poor listener. And firstly, I think it's hard for us to hear God when we're not familiar with his language. Like hearing someone speak in a foreign language. The problem may not be our hearing, it just may be that we're not understanding it well. And what I'm getting at here is that we may fail to hear God's spoken word to us if we're not familiar with his written word. Okay, hooray, the Bible, the pastor's up here telling you to read your Bible. But I believe there's some major truth to this in that there's a sense in which as we become familiar with God's written word, that language is alive in our heart. And I think it helps us recognize the messages that come in other ways. And do we fully appreciate the treasure that we have? If you could say that in Samuel's day, the word was rare, but we have, better than what Samuel had, we have a great treasury of God's spoken words throughout the generations recorded for us. We have, we believe, a recognition that God himself came to earth as Christ, in human form. He lived and died and taught and rose again. And we have four biographies of eyewitnesses who were there and saw that. And we have God's very teachings from Christ, as well as a description of his life and death and resurrection. Have we bothered to read it, or bothered to read it lately? Are we more influenced by the general storyline of Harry Potter or Star Wars, or are we more familiar with the lyrics of our favorite musicians? And those things aren't bad, it's just I wonder what is training our thoughts. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So how do you know what God's will is for your life? How do you hear his voice for you? Well, your mind is transformed. It's renewed through his word. When you allow the words of Scripture to renew your mind, rather than the patterns of this world, of this culture, then things will come to your memory. You will recognize the voice of God. You'll be able to test and approve what you hear because you're immersed in it. So I think one of the ways that we can fail to listen is just being unfamiliar with his language. A second thing that I commonly struggle with, oh, just give me a second here. I did get a text. Well, what was I talking about? Distraction, that's it. I find it hard enough to listen to my own wife when I'm looking at things on my phone. Do we pay attention to God and what he might be trying to say to us? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that all these things like social media and cell phones are evil. Well, I don't know. They're not entirely good either. Entertainment isn't wrong. But, you know, I think these things especially are made to capture our attention, made to fill in those gaps, made to distract us. There's a unique power when we otherwise might be waiting, when we otherwise might have a moment to think and be quiet, we go, what's next? Do I really care what the Canucks are doing in the off-season, what the latest movie review is, what's going on in American politics? It's like, how up-to-date do I need to be on those things? And it's not that leisure and distraction are always an issue, unless they're always an issue. Do you have time in your life to purposely engage in a bit of quiet, in a bit of solitude, where your attention is purposely focused towards God? Jesus even did it. Luke 5, verse 15 and 16. Yet news about him, Jesus, spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and he healed their sickness, distraction. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That word withdrew, like coming away, withdrawing from, we need to find places for that in our lives if we want to hear God's voice. When the crowds got busier, Jesus ministered, but he often withdrew to lonely places. And if he is our lead, then we need to follow. In The Celebration of Discipline, a book by Richard Foster, he advises us to make the most of all of our little solitudes that punctuate our days. And life is busy, and I'm not thinking about God when I'm playing hockey or brushing my teeth I'm at work or whatever. I can't be paying attention all the time, but am I taking advantage of those little solitudes? Those moments when I first wake up, those moments when I'm first falling asleep, when I'm maybe brushing my teeth or in the shower or waiting for the bus, or just these little moments that could be a point in which we tune in to God rather than what's in our pocket. Attention is the currency of our day. Everybody wants it from you. Where are you spending it? A close cousin to distraction is what you might call self-satisfaction. It's that, well, I don't really need it. I'm doing okay. Aaron was sharing with us this morning as we were gathering for prayer that often when the youth leaders come in, he asks them, how are you doing today on a kind of a 1 to 10 scale? And he says, most of the time, they're always busy and they're less than a 5. And I think that's a good thing, because when we think we've got it together, when we don't think we need to hear from God, you know, I'm doing okay in my walk with him. I don't really need to hear more from God, do I? I mean, I've got the Bible, I come to church, like, I'm doing okay. When we're satisfied in that sense, then we're not going to hear a fresh word. We're not even looking for it. We're doing okay. If we don't take an interest in continuing to pursue God, then our relationship will not grow. Have you given up expecting anything from God? Do you ask him questions? You know, I've found that God has spoken to me most frequently when I've been asking him questions. One of the most dynamic times in my relationship with God was when I needed him most, when I had finished a pastoring job and I had built a routine in where I was going with him and praying and walking, and I knew I needed more from him, and he met me there. If we don't think we need God, if we're satisfied with where we're at, if we've given up that sense of pursuing him, we're not going to hear from him. We'll be somewhere else. Another factor in hearing from God or not hearing from God is whether or not we follow through with our actions. If God speaks to us, maybe through our conscience or by putting a thought to our mind or bringing someone to mind that we need to look in on or pray for, if we don't follow through with action, we're missing the whole point. Because God's speaking to us so that we will obey, so that we will learn to walk with him. Of course, God's not going to hold a grudge. He says, well, you didn't listen to me that time. I'm not going to speak to you again. But if he speaks to you again, he might say the exact same thing that he said last time, because he's wanting us to follow through. He's wanting us to do something about what we've heard. James chapter 1 brings this to our attention. It's speaking maybe of God's written word, and it's equally as important there. But James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22, says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. This passage applies, of course, to what we hear in the scriptures, but it applies to that thought that comes to our mind that we think is from God. We've tested it. It seems in line with who Christ is, and we then put it on the shelf. That's a danger that I think dulls our hearts to God's voice. Is there something even now that you can think back? It's like, yeah, actually, God has spoken to me, but I haven't followed through. Don't put those things on the back burner. Have you taken the time to confirm that it's from God, that it fits with Scripture? And if you want that ongoing conversation with God, then you need to go back to the point where he spoke to you and follow through with what he's asking you to do. So in summary, I've reflected on 4 things that I see in my own heart that I wonder if you see in yours that can deafen our ears to the voice of God. When God's written, we, I believe, are better listeners when the written word shapes our thoughts. When we put aside distraction, when we seek God because we know we need from Him, and when we respond to what He says. Now, there's a couple chapters in the New Testament where Jesus repeatedly challenges His church to have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. These are the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And each of those letters ends with, "Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches?" Now, like the rest of the book of Revelation, these letters are a bit cryptic, and they have a lot of imagery about the power of Christ who is standing in their presence, and He makes lots of promises about the future, those who are victorious with Him. But all of these letters also either come with a challenge to persevere in difficult times, or a challenge against a sense of compromise, and also a challenge against a complacency. And one of the most recognizable of these letters is the last one, which is the church in Laodicea. This church has been complacent and self-satisfied and has not followed through on the actions that they're called to do. I've been thinking about this text, and I'm very hesitant to bring it to you in the sense that it's a hard text, that I'm not sure that this letter is what God is wanting to say to Lambrick right now. I'm not sure that it's exactly what God is saying to me right now, but there is a part that I think that does hit close to home for me, and I want to share that part with you. I'll read the wider letter. This is what Jesus says to this church. He says, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, Jesus, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." You can see it's kind of a heavy word to a very complacent church that's neither hot nor cold. What they're doing is neither refreshingly warm or hot. Give me hot water, I can make tea, I can have a shower. Give me cold water, I can be refreshed. Give me lukewarm water, and it's like, bleh. And Jesus is saying that to the deeds of this church. And He's saying, "You think you've got it all together, but you need me." I don't know, maybe God will speak that to your heart. I'm not trying to come down too heavy on it. But what goes on, I think, is a word for us. And perhaps these words will speak to you, because He doesn't leave this church in judgment. He says these words, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Do you hear that faint knock? Do you hear that persistent call? I don't think the voice of God is rare in our day, but I worry that listening ears are. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, and He says, "If you hear my voice, I'll come in. I'll spend time with you. We'll be victorious together." So my prayer for myself, for us, is whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Lord, I want to be a better listener. I want to hear what you're saying to the church. I hear you knocking. Please come in. Amen.